Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Many, many people have been throwing me texts and screenshots about ordering the Taharka Brothers ice cream in the 8-pack box that I have over my shoulder here. $15.70 off. My wife's reading the ads. I don't want to make Luke read the ads. Luke, I make you read the Royal Farms ads and the Planet Fitness ads and the Sporticulture ads. So, 17 years, she's like, give me that ad. I'll do the discount. And I'm like, hey, man, let's give her the credit. So order the sweet potato crumble. Luke, there's a special thing happening on the eve of this Dallas football game as they are christening the Taharka Brothers factory with the eggnog for the season. So I am going to go over and be an honorary churner for some eggnog. They didn't trust me with anything with ingredients that involved crumbles and swirls and and lattes and whatnot. They said, man, the eggnog, you can't screw that up. I said, well, I'll be there for the vanilla bean next time. How are you? I know it's been just as strange on your sensibilities as it is on mine. Are they playing Thursday? Are they playing Sunday? No, they're playing Monday. No, they're playing Wednesday, but Wednesday night? No, Wednesday afternoon. And then Dick Cass has a press release. Clearly, Harbaugh's in massive paranoia mode, right? Like, I mean, three losses. He never loses three in a row. Like, I don't know what to say, but to do dogs or cats when there are 20 players coming back from an illness, we're going to stand here and throw darts as to what's going to happen Tuesday night, right?
Yeah, I think we have a pretty good idea, despite the Ravens 15 minutes before their scheduled practice time start on Sunday moving inside because of this wind in Owings Mills, apparently.
Did I breathe?
According to John Harbaugh, I think it had much more to do with the fact that, oh, yeah, media can't come inside and watch practice in the field house for Lamar Jackson to make his return. But no one cares about that other than media types and, well, anyone who wants to ask media what's going on. But it sounds like Lamar Jackson's going to play. That's the national reports were trickling out early Sunday morning. The media was locked out of practice. John did his typical routine where he's not going to answer any questions from us. So, but we know the 10 days is up.
Well, they don't have to sell tickets anymore, so they don't have to worry about that. So.
Yeah, you have that too, I suppose. But there's been no indication that Lamar Jackson had any complications with recovering, anything like that. So we assume he's going to be out there. We know that there are some other guys who could be out there, like a Patrick Ricard, a Morgan Cox, Justin Madubuike. We know from a timing standpoint, we shouldn't expect to see Mark Andrews, Matthew Judon, or Willie Snead. But they were the late bloomers, right?
They were the late.
They were the tail end. This famous tail end that Dr. Sills was talking about.
Of the four viruses.
That lasted 5 days, right?
Yeah.
Well, one out of the four strands, the other three strands they contained, according to the press release. But slowly but surely, they are moving back to a sense of football normalcy, at least as it relates to 2020 anyway. They're down to, we believe, single digits as far as the COVID list, which is a far cry from where they were even just a week ago. So that's moving in the right direction. And they're going up against the 3-8 football team that they have no excuse not to beat on Tuesday night. Now they have to go out and do it. And you know, we kind of assumed they were going to beat the New England Patriots a few weeks back. And we saw how that played out. But you know, looking at this and understanding this team's talent level, even with a few guys down due to COVID, they should go out and handle business. But as you kind of saw around the league, they're not necessarily going to get a lot of help. Teams that they certainly could have been rooting against on Sunday, they all won.
By the way, the league kind of stinks. You know, sitting around on Sunday and watching these games, there's a lot of teams that stink, and there's a lot of teams that are 8-3 that are pretenders or feel that way to me. And it just feels like a lot of these teams stink. And I don't know whether it's the opt-out or whether it's the coaching. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking on sidelines and I'm like, who's coaching them now? Who's coaching the Falcons? Who's coaching where? So I get a little bit of that going on. And I don't know, maybe there's COVID fatigue, political fatigue, rally fatigue, college football and basketball, COVID fatigue. I mean, all of this going on, but when's the last time that they played a good football game, Luke? And the last time they did, they had Ronnie Stanley and Nick Boylan. Like, I want to know the last time they look like a plus football team. And when I mean plus, a 10-win football team, which is what we all think they can be.
The second half of the Indianapolis game. They played very well in the second half of that game. But
that feels like a long time ago, man.
But that's been, we're talking about five games now since the bye week. And look, they moved the ball up and down the field on the Steelers in the first meeting, and they outgained them by over 2-1. Lamar Jackson turned the ball over 4 times. So we've seen the glimpses, but in terms of a, to your point, kind of that complete 60-minute kind of performance, it's been a while. And I mean, even go back before the bye week. I mean, look at what happened in the final 15, 20 minutes of that Philadelphia game, that they almost blew a lead there. And, you know, it's not as though the Eagles have exactly looked like a team that, you know, is turning their season around, and so much talk about Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts and the turmoil there. So, you know, you kind of go back to the beginning of the season and the way they played against the Browns in week one, you know, and certainly the way they threw the ball, that, you know, that kind of felt very 2019-like. And, you know, the complete performances like that have been few and far between. So, you know, to your point, I don't know what we're going to see on Tuesday night in terms of an eyeball test to really impress everyone, especially when you're talking about some key guys that they're still going to be missing. But how about go out and win a football game? How about snap a 3-game
losing streak? Go out, play
streak, sloppy,
yeah, do everything wrong, and win by decimals. So, yeah, exactly.
Get a win. I mean, that's where they are at this point. We can keep looking. And look, I've been as guilty of this as anyone. I believe last week I said that the Cleveland Browns were a fraudulent 8-3. And look, they almost blew it on Sunday. So you can look at the second half and say, but hey, the Browns are 9-3. At some point, we can keep you know, puffing out our chest and say, well, the Ravens are, you know, the Ravens are 6-5. So, yeah. you know, you are what your record says you are, as the
Thanks,
great
Coach
Parcells used to. Yeah, so at some point in time, we can, you know, as I kind of, I put it to bed a few weeks back that we had to stop comparing this team last year, because this just isn't that team from a talent standpoint with the injuries now, and just from an efficiency standpoint. Now, the defense, you could talk about that. Yeah, the defense, you know, save for a couple spots here and there, has played at a high caliber, playoff caliber level for most of the season. But the offense, we're going to see what happens. And I think what's going to be interesting is, you know, we'll see what the offensive line looks like. McCary and Matt Skura are back, so they have more options there, although Tristan Colon Castillo did a solid job at center for them in really difficult circumstances. So they have more options on the offensive line. You like seeing that. But the big question is going to be, what does Lamar Jackson look like? If you can recall, go back to the Bengals game where he missed practice on Wednesday with the sore knee. The Thursday he was sick, and he did come back to practice on Friday. That wasn't his best performance against the Bengals, and that wasn't this offense's best performance. The defense really led the way in that game. So, you know, I don't need to see Lamar Jackson go out there and throw 4 touchdowns, but you certainly would like to see this offense do enough, one, to win the game, of course, obviously. But they need to get moving, because, I mean, that was a Cleveland team. If you're going to get the first half Browns next week in Cleveland, then you better be ready, because that was a team that scored points and looked pretty impressive doing it. Now, the second half, their defense, not so much. But either way, it's a big game. And with the teams kind of looking at scoreboard watching on Sunday, the teams that the Ravens wanted to lose, they won. So it's another reminder of
– Oh, and it's December, by the way. It's, you know, it's getting short here, right?
Oh, no question. But it's another reminder of, yeah, you might get in at 10-6, but – your sure thing at this point, and technically it's not a sure thing because they got teams ahead of them at the moment, but looking at it, trying to project this out, if they win out, they win their last 5, I'd bet a very high wager that they're making the playoffs.
Dude, you can't project anything out in a league where the Chiefs get woken up at 3:00 in the morning and everybody's getting tested.
Sure.
Right? Like, I mean,
of course. There's always been some of that to a degree, but even more so this year. You're absolutely right. So you don't know, but at the same time, you better not be counting on something like that happening to another team, because there's no guarantee that's going to happen. You need to go out and win football games. And this team, you know, anything less than 11-5, you're holding your breath considerably to see if they're going to get in. Because to your point, you know, there are some really good teams in the league. That's obvious. And it seems like the haves and the have-nots, there's a little more of a gap there this year than there normally is. You know, it feels like a lot of years we'd be talking about more teams being like where the Ravens are, where the Patriots were coming into Sunday, 6-5, 5-6. It feels like we have more teams like, you know, we're not just Pittsburgh and Kansas City, but kind of look at that next tier in the AFC. But then you have those, those Jets who snatched defeat from the jaws of victory yet again, and the Jaguars who almost won a football game. You've got some really bad teams in this conference. So
yeah, my wife said they're 1-10. I'm like, they're winning.
It's wild. So again, I mean, you do look at some of the teams that are ahead of the Ravens right now, and you look at their schedules and you say, okay, I don't think they're going to win out. But at the same time, if you're the Ravens, you go 4-1. Do you get in at 10-6? There's a decent chance, yeah. But we also know that 10-6 doesn't always get it done. The Ravens have been, in positions where that's potentially happened to them. So you need to take care of business, and it starts with the Cowboys, a team that, you look at them on paper, they don't do anything particularly well. Their defense is horrendous. Yeah, they have Zeke Elliott, but it is. Go look at their defense. They haven't stopped anyone all year. But they have Zeke Elliott. I get that. They haven't run the ball particularly well. You look at the offensive line, no Zach Martin, no Cam Irving. They've already lost other starting linemen from earlier in the season. They're down to their second string quarterback, and yeah, it's Andy Dalton, and he's a pretty good backup compared to most teams, but that's a bad football team, and that's a team that you should go out there and handle. And
I can't even give Mike Nolan a hug after the game. This is terrible.
Sure. But at the same time, the Ravens are on a little bit of a shorter week, and there's an uncertainty and lack of practice time for Lamar Jackson or whoever else is coming off the list between now and Tuesday night. And the Cowboys are coming off of extra rest. How much does that help them, considering they haven't seen Lamar Jackson? We've always talked about that effect when you haven't seen Lamar in the flesh.
Well, you're not very good to begin with.
And you're not – right, exactly. So
we saw a lot of that last year. We saw a lot of teams that weren't very good to begin with, and then they had to go tackle Lamar, like Cincinnati last year. It didn't work out well.
Of course. So I'm not going to sit here and try to make some convincing argument on why how the Cowboys could beat the Ravens, but at the same time, I wasn't really feeling I could make a great argument for the Patriots to beat the Ravens, and, we saw what happened there. So you got to come out and play good football, and it's that simple. It sounds like there's a good chance Brandon Williams, Calais Campbell could be back for the defensive line. They've practiced on a limited basis the last couple of days, and John Harbaugh said he's, quote, very hopeful. He did answer that question at least, but so you bring those guys back. You feel way better about that run defense, way better about that front, and it makes things that much more difficult for Andy Dalton and company on the other side. So just get the win. And again, there's nothing about this matchup that you look at and say the Ravens should be overly worried about, assuming they come out and play a representative game. And if they do that, they should win. And they get the win, and then you're on to Cleveland against the Browns team that's feeling really good about themselves right now.
He's Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke, and you can find him out on Twitter and Facebook. And during game time, we'll be together but apart on Tuesday night as we have Tuesday night football and then Monday night football and then finally Sunday afternoon football before it's all over with. All of our WNST programming brought to you by our friends at Raskin Global. I'm wearing the shirt. You can find all of our cool sponsors with voices now. Bill Cole and Todd Schuller, Dennis Colazzo's all chiming in about football, about the holidays, about the plague, about maybe even the Orioles from time to time. But we're mixing things up. If you haven't been out to thenewBaltimorePositive.com, I am encouraging you to do that while you order some ice cream from our Tarka brothers here for the holidays at a deep, deep discount. Get an 8-pack for just $40 and some change. $15.70 of savings. Use Baltimore Positive as the code. Luke, I mean, from a tactical standpoint, we consider talking about the teams and who's going to be. We'll watch that, but I think this is a lot about the overall mojo of the organization, and I think they rightfully felt good about themselves after Pittsburgh in that the guys that went out there played. They played hard. There's no quitting anybody. They drafted the right people. They have good coaches. I'll fall on all of that. But then there's the part where they lost half. They lost their division game because they contracted the plague. And no one else has done this, and other than the Broncos quarterback room, dusting off from this is so important, and how they've handled this over the last week or two externally has been less than, integrity-based. I don't even know. I mean, I think there's a lesson they could teach everyone by saying if you let your guard down, one person in the building could cost us. Issuing Saturday night press releases and stuff, like, I don't know, man. It's tacky. And look, man, I'm a Raven fan, right? I mean, I just – somebody should be coming out in front of this a little bit more and, you know, providing a little bit of color as to what happened in their building last week. Not that we deserve to know or anything like that, but we do deserve to know. They moved the game four times, and, like, to issue a press release and say no speaky is, you know, that's not cool for me. It's not cool.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with you on that. I agree. I'd still like to know, why was the building opened up the Monday afternoon that we found out about Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins? Why did that happen? If Geno Stone was someone that was anticipated to test positive, why was he around the team the previous 2 days before testing positive? Albeit, I get it. They were in a walkthrough and they were distanced and they were wearing masks. I'm not disputing that part of it. I'll buy that. But if he's a suspected, if he's someone you suspected testing positive, then why isn't he on the list as a close contact? Isn't that what it's for? That's why Brandon Williams missed the Philadelphia game.
Well, the whole thing is they had an epidemic that the league has said all along, this is what they were trying to avoid. The league sort of made an example of them. And now there should be an explanation from them other than Mike Silver figures it out 6 weeks from now when a bunch of agents come to, you know what I mean? Just step out in front and own it. You know, you talk about being a first-class organization. You talk about being integrity-based. You talk about safety and player safety and, you know, our players are important in our community, our fans, our stakeholders, our spawn, our media partner. Yeah, and then you run. And now we're going to be up Tuesday night watching football. It's just own it. Just, it's a plague. We get it. Turn it into something positive, you know? Turn it into, hey, this is what you don't want happening in your school, in your office, wherever, in your mall, in your restaurant, in your kitchen, wherever, you know? And for them to not be bigger about it makes me think smaller of them. It really does.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And, you know, one thing when you issue a statement and a detailed statement, and, you know, this wasn't a two-sentence thing. It had, you know, words to it.
How about Dick's available on a Zoom Monday at 11 a.m.? Come on in and ask a few questions. And let's talk about transparency here.
I think if – and look, I'm not a PR person, and maybe, you know, our pal Chris Pica would say this isn't the way you'd handle it, whatever. But to me – Why did it take so long to craft this statement that didn't say a whole lot, if we're being honest? And then to your point, not making anyone available, I think to me, instead of putting John Harbaugh, and not to say that John shouldn't answer for anything either, because ultimately Steve Saunders is part of his staff. He hired Steve Saunders. You know, if it was truly him and no one else, which again, that's something I'm a little more skeptical on, whether it was all him and no one else is culpable or were there a few others who had some slip-ups. But to me, make Dick Cass available the morning of the Pittsburgh game. It's going to be on the Zoom anyway, so it's not a question of access out in Pittsburgh in the press box or anything for anyone who did go. But you make him available the morning of the game, then your head coach isn't asked quite as many questions about that topic because someone in the organization has spoken. And
not someone, the president of the team.
Well, right. But someone who with an authoritative voice in the organization.
Well, John's going to say, I'm not a doctor, right? And I'm sure Dick's going to say, we still have Mark Andrews on the list. And if Mark Andrews is hospitalized on Friday and deceased a week from Monday, we probably have a lawsuit. I mean, they probably have all of that going on.
Sure.
Literally as a business. Luke, if I were dirty in my building and you contracted the virus and gave it to your mother, I mean, I talk to Todd Shuler about this all the time. We'll talk about it this week. There are lawsuits happening right now, you know, nurses and doctors getting, I mean, all sorts of people being subjected to this by sloppiness, literally. And the NFL had all the money and all of that to lock it down. So if the answer is, hey, man, until everybody comes back and we're sure everybody's healthy, and I don't – given COVID and people having issues weeks and months after, I don't know. I mean, I had a wife that went into a burning building in 2001 and got leukemia 13 years later. You know, I mean, who knows how this works? It's a virus. It's a plague. It's a pandemic. Sure. But I thought they could be – and they probably don't want to be more forthcoming about how sloppy they were if that's the case. So, you know, maybe I'm screwing myself into the ground here about why they're not talking. But as a fan and as a consumer of what they do, you know, I've lost respect for all of it, to be really honest with you. I watched the Chiefs play without a quarterback last week. Like, at some point, I thought the league was smarter than this. And look, I'm no dummy when it comes to money or how big business works or, you know, some shamer, you know, out on the internet about this. I mean, I get that they have a business to run. I also know what they say, and then I see what they do. And it's not meshing for me in the middle of a plague for their player safety, for their transparency, for their needing to get the game in. And then when they get the game in, the game is a piece of flying manure. You know what I mean? It's not the game they want to sanction. And I keep referencing poor Eddie Fainer's been, you know, besmirched here on this programming the last 4 months, but I say it with love that, you know, you go from being something that we care about to something that feels like a freaking intramural, literally.
Well, I think a lot of people disagree with you on that, but
play 10 more games without quarterbacks, bro. You know,
okay, but that didn't happen.
Okay,
but you keep.
But they played one.
We're not going to go down this road again because you and I disagree about that. But I do totally agree as far as they put the framework in place for the possibility of games to be played like that. But I totally agree with you on the lack of transparency. And when you put out a statement and when you say 99% compliance, but you don't name any individuals. I mean, it's reported that it's Steve Saunders, but when you control a message and don't provide a forum for people to ask questions, it's very easy to shape what might have been Steve Saunders. And for all we know, a couple other individuals who slipped up, a few players, another coach.
You know, dude, I'm thinking if you got sick, it's on you. If you let Steve Saunders or anybody else get within 6 feet of you, you know, I have to tell Moeller to stay away from me the 5 times I've been with him because I'm like, dude, 6 feet.
Right.
You know, my arm's about 5'8" right here, 5'9", you know? Like, so, I mean, if you're wearing a mask and you're washing your – and you're doing those things – how do 20 people get it?
Well,
you know?
But that's the thing. And then when you just have a blanket statement and you're not going to provide any kind of forum to ask any fair questions.
Luke, when I saw that statement, it tells me they know what the strains are, right? Like, so yeah. With the wristbands and the science, they know the answers, right? Like literally now they're hiding it, right? They know what happened scientifically, right?
They're at least portraying that. You know, just like we heard, Alan Sills, the doctor, say on last Wednesday, I think it was, that they were at the tail end of the transmission, and there were 5 more days worth of positive tests. But the point I was trying to make, though, is when you say 99% compliance and you don't name any individuals specifically, and look, I understand there's a legal, to your point, there's liability here, there are legal issues, but when you issue that statement and you don't provide any forum for anyone to ask any questions about it, it's really easy to shape the missteps of maybe a handful of individuals into almost like a composite character, right? And then you say it's one person and everyone assumes, oh, it's Steve Saunders. So, yeah, but I hear you. And you know, to me, a long statement like that, issue that, and then if you allow a forum to ask some questions, great. You know, I'm fine with issuing some background information.
I can't comment on that for legal reasons. I'm fine with we messed up, but they, but the part of this where it's, well, what happened with Ray Rice in the elevator? We'll never know. You know, like this is not a we'll never know. They set this up so they would know everything. And they've told me what strains. I mean, I've watched my wife with leukemia twice. They know everything about your blood. You know, if somebody was out smoking a Scooby-Doo, you know, the night before, they would know that too. You know what I mean? There's no secrets in any of this. And there's certainly no secrets in contact tracing, man. And there's no secrets in a building that is completely, totally secure, where every part of the building is wired for video. Every hallway has a video camera. That building is Fort Knox-y in its security. It wasn't built in 1921. It was remodeled a year and a half ago. The whole place is set up to make sure nobody's stealing anything, doing anything, and that was before the plague. So they know what happened. Now they just don't want to tell us.
Yeah.
And that's dangerous. because we're going to sniff around. And above and beyond that, that's when you really lose credibility in a relationship, right? When you know the truth and you don't want to share it and you're going to make me go find it, boy, that's when it's just, it's not good. And it's a plague. And they should be more forthcoming about what happened so that it doesn't happen again, quite frankly, if they want to be truly helpful.
See, I almost wonder if, I mean, it's easy to portray that you know exactly what happened, but we're not talking about players and individuals that are in a bubble here. So there was still always the possibility of some community transmission as well, in addition to, you know, what has been reported about Steve Saunders. So I'm even okay with
20 of them got it. There was community transmission.
Well, but my point there is I'm even okay with saying there are still going to be a couple gaps here and there, because it is an open environment ultimately. As much as you said it's a secure building, and yes, it is, but the only way that that remains ironclad is if everyone is in that building 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and no one's leaving. So I'm on the opposite side of what you just said, from the standpoint of I'm okay with some admissions of there being a little bit of unknown to it. For me, it's just the not saying anything about it, having your coach say after the game Wednesday that there's going to be a statement, and then it doesn't get released until Saturday afternoon. So that's what, 3 days later, and then not having any kind of forum to follow up or ask about anything.
It's poor. I give them a fail. Chad Steele, you failed. Dick, you failed this week. So I don't know what to say. You know,
I think that goes above the PR staff. In fairness to the PR staff, I think that goes far beyond above their pay grade, how the organization's viewing this. That's my understanding of it.
Well, fine. Then let the organization step out and do something more than what they've done, which is unacceptable from a fan's perspective that they lost to the Steelers. Unacceptable in the way it played out as a football issue. Unacceptable in the way that it played out as a civic issue. Unacceptable in the way that it played out as a lifestyle issue, to play a football game at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and move fans around three or four times and then never really, and saying, oh, you're so important. You've got a purple soul. You're so important to us. You're stakeholders. No speaky. Here, to see Chad Steele for the press release on Saturday afternoon. That's just, in the words of John McCain, poor. That's all I'm going to say. Luke, I will see you. Go ahead.
I was going to say, then you followed up with closing practice to local media 15 minutes before it was supposed to go down on Sunday.
Always engenders goodwill. Always engenders.
Bat in 1,000 right there.
Well, look, man, Harbaugh's ass is chapped, right? They haven't won in a month, right?
Sure.
I mean, you're always feeling like
that part of it. I get it. A lot of fans don't care. A lot of fans love the fact that John Harbaugh won't say a single word about who's playing, who's not. But you know, then it wears on you a little bit when national media types are being leaked the information and they're closing practice when you've driven 45 minutes to the facility and then tell you to go home. But no one cares. It's fine. I'm not going to lose sleep over it.
One man's decision, I'm sure. Baltimore Luke is the way to find Luke. You can find me, Ness, at BaltimorePositive.com. Luke's Luke at WNSD.net. As always, we are very available individuals. We've got some Orioles stuff up there at Baltimore Positive. We've merged the streams, bringing everything together. Full appreciation to all of our sponsors. I had Court on last week from Sporticulture. We're visiting with some other folks here this week. Our friends in the Brick family and Planet Fitness. We had Teddy on last week, working out, working in. I got to stretch my back out a little bit more, Teddy. I think maybe got to see Dr. Steve over at LA Chiropractic Life as well. Don't forget to order the ice cream. That will fix everything. I've been holding the wake and bake up here. I've been eating the sweet potato casserole like half a teaspoon at a time, kind of rationing the pumpkin spice latte as well. You can order it. It is one click away. Baltimore Positive is the code. You save $15.70 when you do that. But do that now so you get on the delivery schedule so they bring it to your door. And, show me a picture of you eating it. Hashtag us up at Baltimore Positive. I am Nestor. We are WNST.net. We will be playing football against the Dallas Cowboys. How about them Cowboys? Man, only every 8 years they come in. I had a chance to see Jerry Sandusky close down the old girl 12 years ago. I'm like, Oh, my God. It was 12 years ago in Irving, Texas.
Wild, right?
Holy cow, man. These years slide by quickly. I mean, young Joe Flacco and Willis McGahee. So, I don't know. I tend to think about the time we snuffed Aikman back in 2002. So, hey, or 2000 also. 2000, not 2002. Right. 2000 also. I knew you were going to correct me.
Pat Summerall.
Somebody asked me something.
Was on the call that day.
Somebody
Pat
asked
Summerall,
me something.
Called him the.
Go ahead.
He called him the Baltimore Colts about five times. I mean, God rest his soul. I love Pat Summerall and John Madden. I mean, they were the voice of the NFL of my childhood. I mean, you knew it was a big game when it was those guys, but he definitely called them the Baltimore Colts four or five different times.
That season, Baldinger, Summerall and Madden and like whatever happened, you know, like some movement happened and somebody was sick. Maybe Madden was sick. I don't remember, but Baldinger got to do a game with Pat Summerall. And I was with him the next day, you know, up at NFL Films. And, you know, they called some Falcons-Cardinals game or something somewhere, you know. And Pat was at the end at that point. They were bringing in Kenny Albert, Joe Buck, and all that. And man, Baldinger came next day, caught a game with Pat Summerall. Nasty.
That's awesome.
I may never call a Super Bowl, but I caught a game with Pat Summerall. You know, that's pretty good ball.
That's great. Absolutely.
All right, the Cowboys. Man. The Cowboys. What's left of the Cowboys? We'll see them Tuesday night. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. How about them Cowboys? Baltimore Positive.